Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great. Beautiful day up in northern Michigan.
Excellent. Not bad here in northern California. A little on the warm side, though. This week, we're going to talk about cardiovascular disease, a little bit shorter article than we usually do. Specifically, we're going to talk about antiplatelet activity in people with coronary vascular disease. Now, the target population for antiplatelet activity are those people with established cardiovascular disease. In other words, it's secondary prevention, but those who have not yet had clinically apparent disease but are at high risk of having an event. So a primary prevention in that perspective. Our goal today is to look at the use of antiplatelet drugs to see whether we can prevent some of these outcomes. When are antiplatelet drugs indicated? Well, there are several categories. First of all people over the age of 50 with a 10-year cardiovascular risk that approaches 20% or more. Certainly those people with diabetes, either type 1 or type 2, with any of the following, that is age over 50, diabetes for more than 10 years, those who are taking treatment for hypertension, and those with any evidence of target end organ damage. Third category are all people with target organ damage from hypertension. Fourth are those people with atrial fibrillation, that is, if antithrombotic medication is indicated but warfarin is not appropriate. And last, the question is which anti-drug should be used. I think there's general consensus now that aspirin is the first-line choice. If a person is allergic to aspirin or unable to take it, clopidogrel or Plavix at 75 milligrams once a day is perhaps an alternative. Today, Mark's going to help us answer the question that relates to aspirin, specifically what is the optimal dose of aspirin for the secondary prevention of MI, or in this case, stroke. Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, you know, as you said, this is something people are taking a lot of. About a third of the adult population takes aspirin daily to prevent cardiovascular disease, and surveys have shown that about 60% who take aspirin take the low dose 81 milligrams. Most of the rest take a 325 milligram aspirin. A few take 2 to 4 aspirin a day or some other kind of combination. The authors of this study wanted to do a systematic review of the literature to try and figure out the optimal dose for prevention in patients with known heart or cerebrovascular disease. They did a thorough search and found 11 studies, 8 of which were randomized controlled trials, and the other 3 were observational studies. Altogether, they enrolled over 41,000 patients in these studies. The primary endpoints were death and major cardiovascular events. None of the 11 studies showed any benefit to increasing the aspirin dose above 81 milligrams daily. Interestingly, 2 prospective trials actually showed an increased rate of death or MI or stroke in patients on the higher doses. They also reviewed the literature on adverse effects of aspirin. 3 of the RCTs and 1 other meta-analysis found an increased risk of bleeding with higher doses of aspirin. So even that small difference from 81 to 325 does slightly increase the risk of a bleeding complication. On the other hand, a second meta-analysis didn't find any relationship between dose and GI bleeding, so it's a bit of an open question, but certainly a suggestion that those higher doses may be harmful. So in this systematic review, the bottom line from these 11 studies is that there was no evidence to support using anything other than an 81 milligram dose for the secondary prevention of stroke or MI. And those higher doses may actually cause some worsening outcomes.
So this is one of those situations, isn't it, that doctors often find ourselves in with our patients where, you know, they feel that if a little of something is good, a whole lot must be much, much better. And here's a case where not only is it no better in terms of preventing bad outcomes, but it may actually itself cause problems by taking more of the aspirin.
That's right. And I mean, there are good biochemical reasons for this in terms of interfering with certain pathways that encourage clotting versus pathways that inhibit clotting, and the lower dose is better at inhibiting clotting and doesn't encourage the clotting as much. So the biochemist can tell you all about that, but I'm interested in the outcomes, and in this case, it really does support that lower 81 milligram dose.
Excellent. So 81 milligrams it is. An interesting story. I had a patient who came in last week and asked me if it was okay if he took his higher dose aspirin and cut it into quarters and took a quarter a day. And I think what you're suggesting is that that probably is just exactly what he needs to do. Have a good week, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Have a good one.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.